Okay, so we would start with a few scriptures. The first is what is required of us. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God, from the Old Testament, Micah. And also from the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And from the New Testament, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing in 1 Thessalonians. One of the three pillars of Moms Connect is encouragement, celebrate, encourage, equip. And one of the difficult things for me in talking about kindness is this group is one of the kindest groups I've ever interacted with. So I am preaching to the choir, but it can't hurt for us to look at new ways to reach out and be kind and be empowered by the Spirit to be kind. And I'll be talking a little bit about some ways that we can show kindness, and they're all listed on here. And then we're going to have a couple other speakers. Barbara's going to talk about her skill, which happens to be kindness. And then we're going to hear from Pat Thompson about a ministry through which she can show her kindness. And then Patty also will share with us some of those ministries. So we have a full plate. So I was struck by this statistic. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, over 21 million Americans have had incidents of depression, and the rates are highest among women and young adults. And I really link to kindness. What I've been learning about kindness is that it has power to help and encourage and give hope. And that's kind of the main thing that's come out for me. Hal Lindsey is quoted as saying, man can live about 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. And we don't know if that's statistically accurate, but we get very, when we're feeling hopeless, that's one of the worst feelings we can have. And on a lighter note, Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. But he was living on that compliment. He was enjoying thinking about the praise that someone gave him. So what really struck me as just in studying kindness is that it is so proactive. And it is, along with love, one of the more active manifestations of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. So you might have peace within yourself, or patience, or self-control, but kindness always involves other people, including yourself, being kind to yourself, but being kind to others. And a phrase that's often used in the Bible is loving kindness, especially the loving kindness of God. So I think love motivates the action of kindness. And what I've learned is that kindness is using words and actions to encourage others and to give others hope. So it carries a lot of power. And it is relational. It deals with our interpersonal relationships with each other. It is proactive. It takes some thought, because we can kind of wander through our day and not stop and think about ways to be kind. It's deliberate. We always hear about random acts of kindness, but we can really focus on doing deliberate acts of kindness, and it is can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it is powerful, it is life-changing, and in a way, when you show kindness and do acts of kindness and words of kindness, you are spreading hope and good cheer and making the world a better place. So I have a list, and it's on here, of ways to show kindness, and many of these I'm sure you already do, but sometimes I think it helps to stop and think, are there any of these I can do today, or can I be aware of looking outward and how I can reach others through kindness. And I was thinking about how, you know, sometimes you'll turn on a YouTube to do exercise or get physical therapy or get training, and there's always some unique way, some new machine, some new way to do something. And I analogize that to kindness. There are new ways that we can show kindness to other people. So hopefully there'll be something on this list or in your table groups you can bring other ideas of how kindness can be shown. So first, just smiling, taking the time to smile at someone else and receiving a warm smile can really sometimes make someone's day. And it just makes the world feel like a safer, kinder place when other people are smiling at you. Showing warmth, yes. Avoiding one part of kindness can sometimes be not speaking. So the second one, avoiding hurtful or critical comments, sometimes like, I'm gonna be kind by shutting up, you know, I'm not gonna say anything. There's a famous couple in politics, James Carville and Mary Madeline. I don't know if any of you have heard of them, but he's a spokesperson and a strong Democrat, and she is a conservative Republican, and he was interviewed recently about how has your long-term marriage worked out so well, considering you're both so different, and he said, we don't talk about it, you know, so it's like really helpful to just let it go and not, especially when the people that you disagree with already know your opinion, you know, like we don't need to keep going there. So just not talking, or if you really want to get into it, instead of thinking of what is my response going to be and how can I debate back, just be curious. Like, really, why do you think that? What is it about that policy that you like, you know, and maybe get a deeper conversation or learn a little bit more about the other person. The third is just affirm the worth of another person, family member, stranger, letting them know that you see them and that you appreciate them. It just takes a minute to be thinking that way, just to take the time to say something positive. And it can just be considered sincere compliments. Reaching out to isolated or depressed people or people who are alone, and you can do that through a text, a phone call, an email, leaving flowers, just doing something to help make the world a brighter place for someone who's suffering in that way. And then to be there for people who are grieving. And I think sometimes what's hard is there are no words when people are grieving. There's a tradition in Judaism called sitting Shiva. Shiva means five or seven. And people will, when they're mourning, they will sit in a house for 7 days and just grieve. And people come and bring food and just sit there with them. And just their presence is what brings that comfort. Okay. Six is to give life skills through teaching, mentoring, tutoring. I just saw, like, popped up somewhere that I saw that the Contra Costa libraries are looking for people to teach adult literacy. And they call it Project Second Chance. And I thought, there's giving hope, you know, using your skills to give somebody else a second chance to have the gift of reading, which opens so many doors. Then seven, look for opportunities to serve by going, giving, sending, and praying. And some of you have already mentioned the Mexico trips or summer camps, ways that you can go yourself or give money, or send your children, or pray for people who are doing these ministries. So that's a way to show kindness and spread hope. Then eight, reaching out to the fallen and help restore them through friendship or forgiveness. If there's someone who needs forgiveness and you can sincerely show that, that is a way to be proactively kind. And Pat Thompson is going to tell us about a ministry that she is involved with that helps those who have been fallen and are needing to be restored. Then 9, using the written word, write encouraging notes for kids. How many of you put notes in your kids' lunches or have done that? Yes. Or it can be spouses, friends, others. It's interesting, recently we call them napkin notes, I put in my kids' lunches. And one of my daughters now, who has 3 children of her own and is all grown up, said she still has them. So she kept those. And I said, what did I mostly write to you? And she said, well, there'd be a Bible verse, or there'd be some encouraging word in case she was going through something difficult. And then there'd always be a tagline, don't laugh and eat at the same time. It's like she had such a big laugh, I was constantly afraid she was going to choke. And I said, well, how did you react to that? I thought, oh, she's probably rolling her eyes at that. And she said, I just tried to be careful. Okay, that's good. So doing that, and also with just at the bottom of a restaurant receipt, thank you for the great service, something that will make somebody feel empowered. And I know a lot of you already do these, so just keep on. Requested feedback forms, if you have had a medical exam or talked to someone in customer service and then you get a little form, please send us your feedback. That can really help, and that goes along with 10, which is take a minute to bless a customer service representative. Like if you've been on the phone with someone and they're really helping you, to just take that extra minute and say, is there someone you can connect me with that I can thank for the great help you've given me? And I can just, it gives me so much joy because I can hear the joy that that brings them in their day, that somebody has recognized that while they're sitting at this desk mostly getting complaints, there's like a little bright spot where somebody's appreciating and recognizing that they really are doing good work. And then surprising a neighbor, a gardener, garbage truck worker, or a mail person with treats or flowers or notes of appreciation. I was talking to Pat Thompson, apparently she leaves water and treats for all of the delivery people that come up to her door, so that's just something that she leaves out, which is thought a great idea. Giving healthy treats and scriptures to a homeless person. I don't know how many of you do try and stop and give something when you see someone homeless? So I found a tract I really like because it says, somebody loves you. And I thought, this is a nice tract. You know, it's something that is more kind and loving. So I got a bunch of these. I'll leave them in the back if anybody else wants to. Or you can just leave it somewhere. Leave it in some public place and just pray that somebody will find it who needs that encouragement. 13b, aware in any group that you're in of people who are being left out. Like I think sometimes in our groups we're focused on, oh, I want to share this, or I want to say that, or I want to talk to my good friend. And instead, or in addition, also looking around, is there somebody whose opinion is not being solicited, who's not being included, and to make sure they're included. 14 is allow other people to help you. Bring hope and joy to other people by allowing them to bless you in small ways and get that joy of being uplifting to you. And under this, I'd also say allowing yourself to be kind to you. Like not being so tough on yourself, but showing kindness to yourself as well. And then giving creative reminders of hope. So I think when people are sharing, and in a minute Barbara Townsend's going to share what she's working on in her journal, but I think those who have shared about what they're working on and how it's helping them gives other people hope that they can also improve in areas that they're struggling with. I was driving behind my caravanning with my daughter-in-law and noticed this. I don't know if you can read that on her car. Can you read it? How many have seen this decal? These are, so I went to the decal place where they're giving these away, and just to see, like, who started this, and apparently they use the same word, to give hope. To give hope to people struggling with mental health issues or those who are contemplating suicide. It's a subtle message of support and hope. And she teaches at a community college, and is, I think a lot of young people see this message and are hopefully encouraged. And you never know. So a lot of the ways when you reach out in kindness, in a lot of ways we don't know who it's affecting, but it is a powerful way to make a difference and make a change. So I really look at kindness as a proactive, powerful move and equipping of the Holy Spirit within us. So I'd like to, we're gonna have three short, sort of short examples of, I've asked people to share about kindness that they are involved with in their own life. And first it's gonna be Barbara Townsend, who's working on skill number 3, kindness, and skill number 18, showing appreciation.
Cherry, here's your glasses.
Good morning. All right, so kindness is a deliberate act, and I do it in stores all the time, but it's harder to do it when it isn't convenient. So here's my story. So I had an EKG a couple weeks ago, and of course you want to know, was it good? Yeah, it's fine. Okay, so thanks for asking. So I went to Kaiser, you know, waited a while, got the EKG, and the nurse technician who was doing the EKG was probably a little bit older. She was my height, so we saw eye to eye. And she ended up telling me about her family, and she just had this horrible story. And I could tell that she is the one that holds up many generations that live with her. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, that's not me. So anyway, I didn't say that to her, obviously. But anyway, so she finishes up, and then she says, well, but I'm still blessed. And I said, oh. So I get up and start to leave. And I said, well, then I will pray for you. And she said, oh, you will? But I was starting to leave. And I didn't stop and just pray because I was sort of out the door. So I said, watch me. I'm praying as I go down the hall. All right, so that's fine. So I go home. And I'm lying in bed that night thinking, you know, warm, cozy, comfortable, having lovely thoughts. And I think the Lord said to me, you know what, you need to do more than that for this gal. You need to write her a note. Well, that's really easy to say when you're comfy in bed and there's, you know, you don't have to get up. And so I said, Lord, make me remember this in the morning. And so that I don't just say, oh, well, that was just a nice thought for last night. So the next day, I said to myself, you have to write a note today. You can't think, well, I'll do it, you know, later. No, you have to do it today and deliver it today. Well, the one small problem, I have really bad eyesight, and so I can't see people's names on their shirts. So I'm like this, you know. And people obviously are horrified when I'm doing that, so I try not to. So I couldn't quite know if her name was Sherry or Sharon. And I should have said, I'm sorry, what's your name? Anyway, didn't do it. So I'm thinking, who do I write the note to? I thought, oh, I guess it's Sherry. So I wrote, dear Sherry, and thanked her, and then gave her lots of, quite a few scriptures of hope. So I said, all right, I'm doing this. So I went to Kaiser, Walnut Creek, downtown, didn't want to park in the parking lot. So I parked in Trader Joe's, crossed over to Newell Avenue, went to the EKG place, which is way in the back of the first floor, and it's closed for lunch. I'm like, okay. All right. I said, no, you can't give up. Now I think, okay, I could give this note to maybe the guest services, but I don't know what her name is, right? I'm not sure what her name is. So I can't do that. All right, so I walk back to Trader Joe's, do some shopping, and then walk back to EKG, And so they're open now. And there's a station for three check-in people. And there's only one, so I only had one choice. So I walk up, and she's typing and acts like I'm not alive. And I wait, and I kind of wait, and she keeps typing. And I'm thinking, thank you. And I liked her sweatshirt. And I was going to say, I like your sweatshirt. But because her attitude was so, I thought, I'm not going to say that to her. So she finally says, yes. And I said, I'm not here to check in. I have a thank you note for the woman who gave me the EKG yesterday. I'm just not sure of her name. She said, I wasn't here yesterday. Okay. I said, well, the door is right there. So you're telling me you don't know who works behind that door? She says, no. All right, then. Okay, now what am I going to do? So she said, go over, cross the hall, and look through that window, and someone will know. Okay, so I walk across the hall, look in the little window, and no one's there. Now what am I going to do? So I must have looked frustrated because a nurse came by, and he said, do you need help? And I said, yes, explain my situation, that I didn't know this woman's name. I said, she's short like me, she has blonde hair. He said, oh, that's Sharon. He said, I'll make sure she gets the note. Okay, hold on. So I take the note out of the thing, try to make the Sherry look like a Sharon. And I at least had enough brains to know don't put a name on the outside of the envelope until I know what it is. So then I could put Sharon, and then she was off all week. Okay, then. But anyway, he went in and gave the note to her supervisor, my note. So the point was, is that, as you can see, it was ended up being ridiculously inconvenient to do this. But I felt good about myself because it wasn't just an easy act of kindness. It was deliberate and intentional. So forget random acts of kindness. Be deliberate. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. And finally, I've asked Patty Francis to tell us about one of the many, many ministries that she's involved in as a healer and a giver of hope. So I have your others.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Pat. Gosh, you guys both were so good. And I can just say, I have two gals in prison, and when they pray for you, it's amazing. It's so sweet. Thank you for sharing, Pat. Thank you. That was beautiful. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't started looking through this journal that Sherry put together, the one on kindness is so good. And so don't forget to peek in there, because, and even if you can't do it now, do it after Moms Connect ends or whenever, but it's a great resource and a great reminder of how the Holy Spirit transforms us into the fruit of the Spirit. So many of you knew my mom, and we're very kind to my mom. And she's probably the kindest person I ever knew, and I'm hoping that that kindness that lives inside of me is an example and a blessing to her. She lived to be 100. She was kind until the very end. And I just thank you to all of you who had dinner with her and were very kind to her, because she appreciated that. And one thing she said was, and my dad said this, everything is for education. And so it sort of put a passion in her. She has supported Kids Alive a lot for their university students. And it has put the bug in me, too, that if there's an organization that is helping kids learn, as we know, when kids learn, then they can be successful in life. And I remember when I turned 60, I got this example from another woman that I don't want any presents. I just want to build a well in Africa. And I'm not kidding. I raised $14,000. And that built a well in Africa. So if there's a well in Africa, the girls don't have to go get water, they can go to school. And that was through World Vision. And so many people were so kind for that birthday gift, and I thank them. So one thing I have gotten involved with in the last year is Birthright. So it is a pregnancy resource center. So because the pro-life movement has been criticized for saying, you know, don't have an abortion, but you don't care for people afterwards, well, this is a place in Concord, it's not very far away, where we reach out to families, to single moms that need resources. So if they're pregnant, they get this beautiful basket of many things that apply to having a baby, and then a gift after the baby, and then they can come once a month for diapers and clothes. And so the nursery has been gracious in collecting a lot of clothes and even diapers. And everything in there is donated. It's a little house in Concord on Clayton Avenue. And I was there yesterday. I go once a week for a shift. And I met a family from Syria. And he had to flee his country because of the war, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. And he had to go to Asia. He finally came to Concord. It's like, how did you get to Concord? And he said, well, my brother-in-law lives here. And he said, it's so expensive, which is why I'm here. I need diapers and clothes. Anyway, it was a lovely family. He's had two older kids, and then he had a new baby. And his wife came too. And I don't know, it just warmed my heart to be able to help them. And we see Afghan families, Hispanic families, and they can come once a month. And it's just a drop in the bucket, but for them, we have a relationship, and I find out about, you know, how they came to here and Concord, and it's really fun. I really enjoy going. So that's something that I've gotten involved with in the last year, because I wanted to see a slice of life that's different than mine, which, you know, we have a nice area we live in. We have so many things, but just in Concord, people are struggling. And they come there, it's so expensive, and they just don't know how to make ends meet. So that's been a real blessing for me. And then I've been involved in a ministry called Women Physicians for Christ. I'm a pediatrician that has retired. And I've been doing mission trips for quite some time. I've taken both my girls on mission trips. Pat's been with me a couple of mission trips. The one to House of Hope, which I can show you, let's see, there it is. That's where we could form relationships with the women if you go enough, and I've been there five times. And we were not able to go a year ago because the government shut us down. And I'm just really sad because we are helping prostitutes get medical care and hopefully leave prostitution so that they could form a different life. And of course they all have kids, which is fun because I got to see the kids. But they have a program that helps their girls go to school. Because if girls go to school, they don't get trafficked. Most of these women in the program started when they were like 5 or 6 or 10 because their families sold them. If you can believe it, their stories were heart-wrenching. And so it's something my mom gave to and I give to every year now, because if they go to school, they won't be trafficked. That's what statistics shows. And I know Jenny Horner, who used to come to moms, started an organization, or not, she was involved with Dress a Girl around the world. How many people sewed dresses for Dress a Girl? Yeah. So if a girl wears a beautiful dress, and these dresses are so cute, I love to sew them, they won't be trafficked either, because somebody cares enough to give them a nice dress. So it's just simple of how we can show kindness to women, girls, who have a life that is so hard in other countries. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for Sherry and Barb and Pat for your examples of kindness too. Thank you.
Somebody else send in prayer?
Okay. Okay, I'm not sure what comes next, but let me just say a brief prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all of the women in this room, the daughters of the King, who have been given the Holy Spirit, and please continue to empower us to, through your love and your spirit, share loving kindness to encourage and bring hope to everyone that we come across in this world. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.